begin with to the book of 1 John chapter 5. Book of 1 John chapter number 5. We'll start there this evening, I'm sure. That will not be the only scripture we'll use. Everybody listen, give me attention. You're going to need this one day. If you don't, ought right now. So please, give me your attention here this evening. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5. We'll look here tonight in the scripture. And I want you to look at it with me if you would. And look at verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Everybody look at it. He said this. These things have I written unto you. That's the book of 1 John. That believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may, what's that next word? Say it again. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. So all the people that's going around saying you can't know you're saved don't know the Bible too good. He said you could. And he said that you may know that you have present tense, right now, present possession. Not hope to have, not think you might, not wait till you see you die and then figure out if you got it or not. Know that ye have present tense, eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I like to preach tonight on the subject, the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation is a doctrine that Christians ought to know. Bible-believing, New Testament Christians saved by grace ought to know their stuff. And like I said, if you keep coming to church here, you're going to get it sooner or later if you'll listen and get it, let it sink through and get it through your head. I'm going to preach on the assurance of salvation. My pastor always told us the two greatest things in life are, number one, be saved and know it. Number two, be in the will of God and know it. If you know those two things, you know more than the vast, big majority of the people in this world. You know for a fact you're saved. You know for a fact you're in God's will. Very few people know both of those things. I had a man I used to work with down here over toward Lenore when I first got saved. Worked third shift over there in a knitting factory over there in Lenore. And we worked at one over here, and then we worked at one over in Lenore. And me and these boys rode together to work. And I just got saved, and we talked Bible all night long, Bible, Bible, Bible. And we worked this guy over there. He was sort of a strange sort of guy. But he went to church all the time, and he thought he had it all figured out. And he told us, he said, "Now, boys," he said, "the way I look at it," he said, "we've got this word saved at the wrong end." He said, "When the Lord said to believe on him, you shall be saved." He said, he didn't say you was saved. He said, you shall be saved. And what he took that scripture and made it like you had to wait till you die to find out if you're really saved or not. That'd be a scary way to live. And there's a lot of people live like that. Well, I tell you what, I'd hate to think that I had to live all my life just hoping that I'd done enough, the right thing, so that God might let me in heaven, not send me to hell. I don't want to take no chances on going to hell when I die. If God made a way that we can be sure, then I want it, and I want to be sure. If God said we can know, then I want to know. It doesn't matter what you think or what somebody said or how you felt or somebody told you or what kind of dream they had. If God said that you can know you have eternal life, then, brother, you can know that you have eternal life. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, as we get into this doctrine tonight, let me say a few things right quick. First of all, why some people doubt their salvation? Why some people doubt their salvation? I've heard people say, "Bless the Lord, if you got the real thing, you'll never doubt it." That ain't true. I've heard people say, you'll never know it. And that ain't true. The truth is, the big majority of us are in the middle somewhere, and most people go through times in their life when they have periods of doubt. I mean, if you got a brain at all, you're going to be thinking sooner or later, this, you're going to think about this, you're going to think about that, and there's going to be a little doubt hit your mind, you'll think, well, how do we really know? I mean, any logical thinking person is going to have those thoughts sometime in your life.
And so I want to say, first of all, why some people doubt. There are people who doubt like crazy. I mean, all the time. Every time a preacher gets up and preaches, you can know you're saved. They're sitting there thinking, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm saved. Gosh, how does he know that? How does he? I'll guarantee you, there's 10 or 15 sitting right here tonight that you're sitting there thinking, I'd give anything if I could just really know for sure. How do I know I really? All right, let me tell you why you doubt. Here's why you doubt your salvation. First of all, the devil gets you convinced that you didn't have a definite Christian experience. He'll take you back to that. And a lot of times Christians are to blame for this because you hear all these testimonies, and we build up these testimonies sometimes to where we make people think if this didn't happen to you, you really, really, really didn't get saved. I'm going to tell you tonight, the night I got saved, I mean, brother, I had all of it. Emotion. I bawled my eyes out. I cried. I slobbered. I fell in the floor. I laid on my... But I'm going to tell you something. None of that stuff saved me. You don't get saved by bawling. You do not get saved by laying in the floor. You know, I mean, the Bible says we are saved when the second we put our faith in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we're saved, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Amen? That's right. You're saved by grace through faith. That means I believe this. I can't prove it always, but I believe there's a lot of people saved before they ever get to the altar. There's no doubt in my mind. When it breaks back there, boy, and that heart turns toward God, and buddy, they step out there and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I believe there's been a many of them saved coming down the aisle. And brother, eternal life moves in. But the devil, here's what the devil will do. The devil will make you think, my goodness, you hear Brother Danny talk about when he got saved, and you know, the sky was bluer, the birds sing louder, all that kind of stuff, and sometimes people exaggerate their testimony a little bit, and you got people sitting back here in the church singing, good enough, that didn't happen to me. I was 5 years old, and I just bowed my head, maybe I really didn't get saved. And especially if you got saved when you was young, and if you get saved when you're young, you ain't never really done a whole lot of sin. I mean, you know, you ain't drunk, you wasn't on drugs, and there was not a big drastic change in your life. The devil will say, you never really got saved. But I'm telling you again, the second you believe that Christ died for your sins and that you put your faith and trust in that, you, according to the Bible, have eternal life inside you. I ain't trying to convince nobody you're saved, but I sure ain't trying to talk you out of it neither. Hey, a lot of preachers do that. I hear a lot of preachers preaching, but the Lord, the time they got through, they had 2/3 of the congregation going to hell. I ain't trying to talk y'all out of it, but I ain't trying to talk you into it if you ain't got it neither. I'm telling you tonight, brother, that's what the book says. I'm preaching to you just exactly what the Bible said. You say, well, I remember this. This happened to me a few times. I remember people hearing people say, now you take the Roman road. Are you a sinner? Yes. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Now, honest to goodness, I didn't say all that stuff. I didn't know the Roman road from Interstate 40 when I got saved. I had no idea what the Roman was. You know, the night I got saved, I remember only saying two words, oh God. That's all I remember. I remember saying, oh God, oh God. And the Lord probably looked down and said, Lord, oh Danny. I don't know what he said, but I'm telling you one thing. You don't get saved by what you say. You don't get saved by praying. You said, well, it says confess with your mouth. It sure does. I confess him as my Lord. You don't get saved by asking, brother. I know it says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, but the minute you confess that he's Lord and you believe on what he did, the Bible said thou shalt be saved. Now, tonight, let's think about that. I remember one guy, he told me one time, I was running around these bunch of boys, and one of them got crazy. Watch out for crazy Christians. They'll have you all messed up. And this guy told me, he said, now, whoever prays for you, like when you go to the altar to get saved, whoever comes up here and puts their hand on you, and whatever spirit's in them goes into you. I said, now if they're a hypocrite, if they ain't really saved, you ain't really got saved. And this boy told me, he said, oh my Lord. He said, the guy that led me to the Lord turned out to be a homosexual. And he said, does that mean? He said, does that mean? I said, no, no, no. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where it said this person that prayed with you, their spirit goes into your spirit. I ain't got time to get into all of that. It's got nothing to do with who puts their hands on you. It's got nothing to do with how you act emotionally. Or if it, I believe when a baby's born, it cries. And I believe when a Christian's born, most of the time there's some tears. But not always. It don't say there has to be. You are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So people doubt because they didn't have a definite Christian experience. You know what old Peter did one time? He was going down in the water like this, and he reached out and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord grabbed him just like that. He didn't say, Our Father which art in heaven. He didn't twiddle the beads and say, oh, Hail Mary, Mother of God. Remember us sinners now in the hour of our death. Hail Mary, Mother of the Lord. He'd have drowned. He just stuck his hand up and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, I said, oh, God. I didn't get saved by saying, oh God. People say that all the time. I got saved because my faith went then on what? Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so tonight, people doubt because they didn't have a definite Christian experience. Not only that, people doubt because they do not spend time in the Word of God. A lot of doubt your salvation, and I say, you've been reading your Bible? Well, no. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't go to church, you don't read the Bible, you're going to doubt. You're going to doubt. The devil's going to come around and say, well, you ain't saved. Look at you. You don't even have no... Listen, and you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible if you're going to dispel doubt. If you want doubt out of your life, read. When you're doubting your salvation, the last thing in the world you need to do is lay your Bible down and pull back from God and church. Seek the Lord. You know what they used to say? Go up in the pine thicket, brother. I mean, take your Bible and go up on the mountain one day and open that thing up and say, God, I love you. Lord, I love you. Help me. And read and pray and read and pray and read and pray and read and pray. A neglect of that book right there will definitely use the devil use it in order to make you doubt. Well, not only that, you know what else makes people doubt their salvation? Is everybody listening? You've been having doubts? I tell you what else today. When you allow sin into your life and run with the wrong crowd and sin, that might be part of your price to pay, is having to doubt your salvation and being a miserable person. Because then, if the devil can get you out sinning, then he jumps on you and says, you ain't really saved. If you was really saved, you'd have never done something like that. What if Brother Danny knew what you've done? Da, da, da. You know, the devil jumps on you, and he jumps on you with both feet, and all that sin will cause you to doubt your salvation. Because you get out there, and the devil says, there ain't no difference in you and them other sinners out there. You're going to hell, they're going to hell. No, no, no. You're going to hell too. You just thought you were saved. You really didn't get saved. You didn't say the right words. You don't really know. Hey, you didn't say the right prayer. You wasn't really sincere. You didn't really. And he'll drive that in you and drive that in you till you won't be worth a dime for God. I'm going to tell you tonight, everybody in here, I'm going to try to help you tonight to get that thing nailed down and, brother, settle that issue and say with John, I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you might believe on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You run with the wrong crowd. Now, let me say secondly tonight. I said first, why some people doubt their salvation. Number two, the dangers of doubting your salvation. What it causes, it robs you of peace and joy. Rejoice, what's the Bible say? The Lord said, rejoice because your name is in the book of life. If you don't know your name's in the book of life, you can't rejoice. You lose your joy. I know people, I know a man right now, good man, loves God with all his heart, and he's constantly, he goes around praying all the time. That's not a bad idea. And he goes around praying all the time, Lord, he's scared to death that he might say something wrong or have a bad attitude and then die and in a wrong relationship with God. And he believes that if you're not absolutely perfect relationship with God, the moment you die, that you would go to hell. And I tried to tell him, I said, salvation is a gift. Salvation is through Christ. It's not, nothing to do with our works or lack thereof. And I tried to tell him, I said, listen, if I thought that if I wouldn't, that I had to die in an absolute perfect frame of mind to go to heaven, I'd be scared to go to town. I'd be scared not to go to town. And when I'd be scared to go to town because of my sin. I'd be scared not to go to town because God might want. I mean, you'd drive yourself crazy. And there are people who do let the devil drive them crazy because they said, how do you know you really prayed? How do you know you really repented? How do you know you really got saved? How do you know you really? And the devil will work on you and work on you just like the devil works on people with drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, any kind. The devil says, I got them. I got a way in. I got a way in. Doubt it. Doubt it. Doubt it. I'm telling you, it'll make you a miserable Christian. It'll steal your joy. I'm telling you, brother, it'll you'll never be able to enjoy being saved wondering half the time if you even are saved. You lose your effectiveness. You're not going to witness if you don't even know you're saved. I read some time ago, some people tell us, they say, well, if you tell people they're saved, well, they'll just live like the devil. No, you'll actually get more done for God if you believe you're saved. You ain't going to do much for God if you don't even believe you're saved yourself. And I read where they was building the Golden Gate Bridge out there in San Francisco. And that thing's big, man. And it goes real high. It goes across. And they said that those workers was up there working on that steel and putting those bolts to that steel. And it slipped and fall and actually lost some of them. They died, fell into the bay and drowned. And they installed a huge, big old net underneath that thing. Big old giant net reached all the way across there. And that way they said, if a worker falls off that bridge, this safety net will catch them. And you know what they said? As soon as they installed that net, the guys got more work done, they were effective more, and they even had less people falling when they knew that they were safe, when they knew that they couldn't drown. They said, if I do fall, the net's going to catch me, and they got the job done. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get a lot more done for God when you believe you're safe, when you know that you're safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said this. They said, I have full coverage. I have an insurance policy written in the blood of the Lamb. It's sealed by the cross of Jesus, redeemable wherever I am. The company will never go bankrupt. It's bonded by God's promises true. It'll keep every word of its contract exactly what it says it'll do. I don't have to die to collect it. No premium do I have to pay. And all I do is accept God's promise and live in His holy way. No collector will ever come calling. It was paid on Calvary's tree. It insures me living and dying for all eternity. Listen, brother, we sing that song, we mean it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm telling you tonight, brother, when they went over yonder in the Old Testament and they had these, what they call cities of refuge. You remember the cities of refuge? And they had, I think, seven of them, Bezer and some of them places. And if a man killed somebody and they was going to kill him, he could run, and he'd get in the city of refuge. And they couldn't touch him. He was safe inside the city of refuge. And they said, you know what they said? They said he was safe until the high priest died. And then he'd have to do something else. Whatever. And I'm telling you tonight, when I got saved, I ran to the city of refuge. You know how long I'm safe? Till the high priest dies. Ain't gonna happen. He done died one time. He'll never die again. That's an Old Testament type of the Christian being saved by grace through faith. And brother, that's one of the dangers of doubting your salvation. You lose your effectiveness. Now, number three. Here's the meat of the message, and I'll give you this and I'll be through. How to have assurance of salvation. Here's how you can know that you're saved. Number one, you must, absolutely must, base your assurance on what the Bible says. Not how you feel, not a dream that you had, not some movie that you saw that scared you, not some dream your grandma had. glad that she saw you in heaven. Base it on what the book says. That's the only way you can know for sure. Now look, make sure that you get Christian doctrine. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, called to be an apostle. Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. He had Jews saved, but his ministry was to the Gentiles. He went into Arabia there when he first got saved, and Galatians, his first epistle, Romans, and long in there, and he said, I went down there, and buddy, he stayed with Peter 15 days. I'd like to have heard that conversation, wouldn't you? Peter and Paul hashing it out there for 15 days, and then he stayed in Arabia, I think for 3 years, something like that, and when he come back, he had the revelation of the body of Christ, the church. Now, the revelation of the church is a different thing than that Old Testament law and the Old Testament prophets. God did a different thing with the church which is His bride. Everybody that's been saved in this dispensation is a part of the church which is His bride, the body of Christ. You know what the Bible says about us? It says we're in Christ. We are in Christ. Old Testament saints were not in Christ. He hadn't even came yet. They were keepers of the law, and when the law was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, He died, He rose again, we are now in Him. Now watch, this piece of paper tonight, I'm going to put it in this book. You can't see it, you see the book. It's hid in that book right there. If I lay that down, it's hid in there. No matter what I take that book, what I do with that book, that paper is hid in that book. That's the way you and me are in the hand of God. He said, you're in my hand, and He said, ain't nobody going to pluck you out of my hand. I'm telling you tonight, when you got saved, if you really got born again, you got uncircumcised your flesh and cut loose from that old dead spirit and put inside Jesus Christ, and brother, you are just as saved and secure as Jesus Christ Himself. You are in Christ. You say, well, Brother Danny, what about that scripture that says, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved? I'm glad you brought that up. Matthew 24 has nothing to do with a Christian. Nothing. There ain't no Christians in Matthew 24. It's talking about Jews in the tribulation running from the Antichrist. Read it. Flee to the mountains. Can't be pregnant. Pray it ain't in the Sabbath day. Pray it ain't in the wintertime. That's not us. It don't matter if it's summer, winter, fall. Don't matter when it is. We are in Christ. Saved by His grace. I'm glad to say tonight, based it on what God said in the Bible. All those verses that seem to teach you can't stay in Christ, you look at the context. Look at the context. Look at everything from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 on as its future. Not past, not present, future. You know how you do it? You base it on the Word of God. I remember when I first got saved, I wrestled with this. Because I really wanted the truth. I didn't want to believe something just because Baptists believed it. I remember that. I remember saying, Lord, I don't care who believes what. I want what's right. And by the way, I still feel the very same way. Amen? It don't matter what the Baptists say, brother. It's what the book says. Now, I go by Baptist because that's the closest doctrine to what the Bible teaches. And if you get away from Baptist, you're going to wind up crazy somewhere down the road somehow. Mark it down. We ain't got time to get into that tonight. And I know a lot of my internet listeners will have a heart attack, but I'm praying for you that you'll get over it. I'm telling you tonight, brother, listen, I went through all that. I went through that years and years ago. I got down the floor and beat my head nearly on the floor, and I said, God, I want the truth. I want the truth. And I'd hear one preacher say this, he had Scripture. I heard another preacher say this, he had Scripture. And they contradicted each other. Now, when two Scriptures contradict each other, you got one or two things you can do. Either say there's a mistake in the Bible, or you ain't understanding it right. And you know me, I don't believe there's a mistake in the Bible. I believe if you put it in the right doctrinal conviction and the whole thing. Now, you must put your faith in what the book says. John 5:24. Verily, verily. That little fellow there, you know, a little man named Skid B. Riley, you know, and they said, B. Riley? He said, yeah, you know, Jesus taught that cat all the time, man. He said, B. Riley, B. Riley, I say unto thee. Jesus said that one time. He said, verily, it means surely, absolutely, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word, heard it, and believeth on him that sent me, believe that, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's pretty plain, ain't it? You say, but what? Wait a minute, that ain't what he said. Shall not come into condemnation. The only way God can condemn us is condemn his own son. Because we're in him. We're in him. When he sees me, he sees the blood. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Put your faith in what the book says. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've just been having doubts. Listen, believe what God said and get back up in the choir and sing your heart out and go tell somebody about the Lord this week and live for Jesus Christ. Doubt your doubts. Believe your beliefs. Doubt your doubts. Lord bless you for it. This woman, her name was Miss White. She had been married for quite some time, and they was asking her about her salvation. They said, well, how long have you been saved? She said, I've been saved a long time. She said, I'm not trying to be saved. I'm not working at being saved. I am saved. And they said, hey, you know, she said, me and my husband have been married, 30, 40 years. She said, I've been Miss White ever since I put that ring on. There's never been a second I ain't been Miss White since I took his ring, and I gave him me, and he gave me him, me, whatever. And she said, since we gave ourselves to each other, there's never been a time when we weren't married. And she said, I've been a Christian ever since I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I put my hand in his hand, he took me, I took him, and I've been a Christian ever since. I ain't been always a great one. I failed and come short of the glory of God, but I've been a Christian ever since the night when I was 18 years old and I vowed, I took him, he took me, and I'm a part of his bride, and I'm hid in Christ. Told a preacher. She came to a preacher one day and she said, preacher, I've got a problem. He said, what's that? She said, the devil's telling me I'm not saved. He said, okay, what's your problem? She said, I told you, preacher, I've got a problem. He said, what is it? She said, the devil is telling me I'm not saved. He said, well, what's your problem? She said, preacher, I told you, the devil's telling me I'm not saved. He said, ma'am, the devil is a liar. If the devil's, is that where you're going to get your belief and your faith from, the devil? If the devil's telling you not saved, that's a pretty good sign you know what I mean? I mean, before you got saved, he never told you that, did he? He told you what a good fellow you was and you're probably going to go to heaven and how much God loved you. And you know, soon as you get saved, here he comes. You ain't going to... Listen, I'm telling you, he's a liar. You're not saved by how you feel. You're not saved by how you don't feel. You're not saved by goosebumps going up down your spine and up your neck. You're not saved by a dream. You're not saved by feeling goosebumps when a singing group gets up. You are saved by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. I fly. I don't like flying an airplane. I hate it. The longer I do it, the less I like it. I thought it was all exciting. People say, oh, I'd love to fly places, brother. After a while, you wouldn't. It's awful. Going through them checkpoints and stupid airplanes, and it takes forever, and it costs a fortune. And you say, no, but you know what? Every time I get on one of them things, every time, I think about how it is being saved. I get on there, and there's a lady sitting right here and says, how are you today? And I say, fine. And a little bit, ain't that much room to walk. And you go back through there, and I look up there, and there's that cockpit, and there's a million little buttons. And so I'm telling you, couldn't
Lord. I mean, it's big as that, almost as big as that rock across there with buttons. How do you know what all that is? Ain't no way in the world man know what all them things are for. I mean, gauges and little computer screens and everything. And I look in there and think, oh, Lord. Oh, boy. And we're going to Texas in this. 2 miles up in the air. I mean, 5 miles up in the air. Almost 30,000 feet. 500 miles an hour. You know what I got to do? I can cry. I can jump up and down. I can scream. I can say, I want to see your papers. I can say whatever I want to. But I just go back there and sit down. And I ask the Lord to take care of us. And I trust that pilot and God to get me where I'm going. Now look, if I sit there the whole time like this and we're going to fall out, and I've seen people act just about like that. I'm telling you that. And then there's somebody else sitting over here like this, takes his newspaper, does like that, and snores a whole blessed time. Now, which one of them is the safest? Same. You can wring your hands, jump up and down, scream. You ain't a bit safer than the guy sitting over here sound asleep. I'm telling you, brother, when you get saved, you get in him. He's the pilot. Now you got one or two choices. You can worry yourself silly and get there, or you can shout it out and enjoy being saved and be a witness and get there. Because you're going to get there either way. You know that ship he got in that time? He got in there and he said, let's go to the other side. And buddy, that's where they're going. We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side, people. We're going to the other side. Hallelujah. You can enjoy it or be miserable. Take your pick. Well, I enjoy that story. I used to tell it. Really, it's not this message, but I jotted it down this evening. And it's like them prairie fires years ago out there in the desert. They said them Indians, like, so they wouldn't get ambushed and killed, what they'd do when the wind would come across there, their enemies would set a fire. And I mean, them fire, buddy, them weeds about that high, they'd go across that desert so fast you couldn't get out of the way and burn you up. So what they'd do when they went out there to get camp, when they had camp, they would actually go all the way around them and burn a big old place all the way around them like that. And then they'd camp right there. And they said, why'd you do that? And they said, because we don't have to worry about nobody burning us. That fire can't do it. And they said, your fire can't come where the fire's already been. It's already burned. The fire can't come where the fire's been. We're safe. I'm going to tell you, if you believe the Bible tonight, Jesus Christ suffered our fire and our judgment. And the fire can't come where the fire's already been. Amen? That's how you don't doubt your salvation. The only reason you doubt, you're either sinning or you're trusting something you ain't supposed to be trusting. Trust Him, quit sinning, you'll be all right. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. You can come to the altar if you want to. So you're going to play something softly. Maybe right there at your seat. Maybe you want to say, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil keep just torturing me. I'm going to accept what God said in His Word. And I ain't much, but I'm not going to heaven because I'm much. I ain't special, but I'm not saved because I'm special. I'm going to heaven because my life is hid in Christ. And when He sees me, He sees His blood. Father, I pray right now, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit of God, dear Lord, move on somebody's heart right now tonight. I pray that maybe somebody here tonight settles this issue once and for all. Help this audience here tonight, Lord, those that are watching
and hear this other ways, radio, whatever, I pray somebody will get the victory here this evening. The devil will lose hold. Lord, that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ while they have time. Lord, for those of us that have already put our faith and trust in you, help us to go to work like never, ever before to reach others, to bring them to the Savior. Whatever you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Hallelujah. Lord, help that person here tonight that the devil's been tormenting, that lady, that young girl, that man. Maybe that person here tonight that maybe got saved when they were young and the devil's always tried to torture them. Lord, rebuke it. Give them peace. Give them peace right now. Give them peace right now. God, give them peace right now. Lord, help them realize they've done what everybody else has done. They've done exactly what I did. They've trusted you. And that's all any of us can do. And you said that we might have eternal life. And we might have faith and know it, that we have faith in your word. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it, for his sake. Amen. 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 You know, if you struggle with doubting your salvation, let me give you some advice. Read your Bible a lot more. Pray more. Seek God. And keep telling yourself, I'm trusting Him. Not myself. Not how I feel. You can go to hell being a Baptist. You can go to hell being a Methodist. You can go to hell going to church. You cannot go to hell trusting Jesus Christ. It's impossible. You can't be done. You can't go to hell. You say, what do you mean trust Him? I mean, if you had to die right now, and God says, why should I let you in heaven? Say, because of what Jesus Christ done for me on the cross. That's what I mean. Just like I'm trusting this platform to hold me up, I'm trusting Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. I trust that plane to get me to Texas.